Well, good morning. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the last of a sermon of a series we've been doing called A Reason for Faith, and we've been seeing the different reasons or blessings that faith brings us, whether it's hope or the ability to change, and today we're going to look at wisdom. And we had touched base on wisdom in our last series, in a series called Authentic Living, and we were looking at the different psalms in the Old Testament, and some of the psalms are called Psalms of Wisdom, and today we're going to dive even a little bit more further into it, because I think wisdom is one of the reasons that God has given us faith, and one of the benefits that comes out of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. An old man was fishing at the riverbank, and along came a frog who said, "If you kiss me, I will turn into a beautiful woman and grant you any favor you desire." Wow, the old man thought about it and put the frog in his coat pocket. "Aren't you going to kiss me?" said the frog. "I'm 75, I'd rather have a talking frog." I won't say anything more than that. Might have been a wise decision or might not have been a wise decision. It was a philosopher, a physicist, and a common man stood around a piece of fruit. When asked what the fruit is, the philosopher says, "Well, we know where this piece of fruit truly is and where it came from. We assume through wisdom that this form of the fruit is the closest to our perceptions of the fruit." If you didn't understand that, that's kind of normal for philosophy. The physicist states, "Truly there is no fruit. The fruit is simply an interaction of fundamental forces and unseeable particles colliding through time and space until fruit is formed." The common man replies, "It's just an apple." Now, you might chuckle at that a little bit, but we live in a world where common sense and wisdom seems to be disappearing rather rapidly. And not all of us have this thing called wisdom. Many of us lack it. I've done some things in my life that would probably preclude the idea that I have any wisdom at all. I remember many, many years ago, we did a series in church and we called it Good Decision, Bad Decision. And I played this character called LT, who was Larry the Technician. My kids remember this. I would dress up in overalls and I would put some funny buck teeth in and I would do the redneck character from the States. And we did this whole series on good decision, bad decisions, and I jumped off bridges and we towed some cars and some other crazy stuff. Good decision, bad decision. And I learned through that series a lot of unwise choices. I learned that it's not wise to put a chainsaw on top of the roof of a car to try and make a sunroof, because when you do, the chainsaw takes the metal and puts shrapnel all up your legs, which is not a good thing. I also learned that I had a pretty relatively new 18-foot whitewater canoe, and we thought it would be a great idea in this series that we would see how fast this canoe could go, and in order to do this, I had my friend Bubba, and so Bubba and I, LT, we got together, we got out to my friend's place, and he had one of these big jet boats that, I don't know, a couple hundred horsepower, something stupid like that. We should have been thinking, but we weren't, and so the idea was that we would take duct tape, and we would put all kinds of fireworks on the back of this canoe, and then we would light them, and then we would have a rope on the other end of the canoe, and he would take off with his jets, and he would pull us through the water, and then we would, you know, and we're videoing this, so people would only see the part, they wouldn't see the boat pulling us, they would just see the fireworks shooting out of the back of the canoe, and they would see the canoe shooting across the water, and that was their good decision, bad decision. As it turned out, it really wasn't a good decision. Bubba, who was my co-star, he was heavier than I. And the boat was a very powerful boat. So we got out there, we light the fireworks, we get starting to paddle, we say, "Gun it!" So he guns it, and in the front of the boat, the canoe, if you know anything about canoes, when the person's heavier in the front, the canoe kind of goes like that way. So all you see in the video is the canoe kind of go like this, and then the guy who was videoing lost it because he got it too funny. And then the boat, literally, it went like this. It buckled. It just about killed us. It knocked my Bubba, my friend, in the back of the head. The gunwale just about knocked him out. It was bad. And it put my canoe right in half, so I had a lot of repair work to do. Not exactly the wisest decision in the world. And so many times in life, I have lacked, even though I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, the wisdom that comes from experience, and the wisdom from sometimes, as we saw in that little opener in our trailer this morning, just to ask other people, "Is this a good idea?" Because I've done many things that I found out later on weren't a good idea. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, I learned that one of the miracles is that most of us men are still alive today, because we were telling stories about things that we have done, and many of those stories were not wise stories. And so it's quite amazing that we all seem to share this common characteristic that wisdom is something that is very hard to come by. And yet, The Bible highlights the importance of wisdom both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read from a book called 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and following. And if you've got time this week and you want to read before this, the whole chapter before this, or a good part of it, is about this idea of wisdom. And part of the context we need to understand is that Paul, who was writing this letter, was writing to a church in Corinth, which was part of the Greek-Roman Empire, and there was a lot of emphasis on this idea of wisdom. There's also a lot of this emphasis on this idea of secret wisdom. And so you've joined the club and get the handshake, you're going to get secret wisdom. And so there's all these different things going around in the world. And there were some very good teachers at this point. Paul had raised up people. People had been coming to faith. The church was growing. And there's some pastors. They called them super pastors or super apostles. And so they would come and they had great teaching abilities and great skill and whatever their past experience, we don't know. And Paul was one of these guys that was more just, even though he was very, very educated, he was one of these guys that was, from what we read, probably the not most dynamic speaker. And so people had questions about his wisdom, about where it was coming from. And so this is kind of the context of where Paul writes this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and following says this: "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers or of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we had received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Jesus Christ." This is encouraging. And this is one of the results, one of the blessings, one of the reasons for faith. It's hard for me to remember a time when I didn't know Jesus Christ because I've grown up in the church. Now, that does not mean I've done many mistakes and I'm far from perfect and wrestle with many things in life. But God, in my perception of my family and perception of life and my worldview and scripture since I was a little kid, has always been there. And so there's always been this concept that I know God's there, but there's always this conscious decision, well, do I listen or do I not listen? And when you know you're supposed to learn, when you're supposed to study, when you're supposed to live certain ways, then you have to make a conscious decision whether to follow or not to follow. And I'm sure as many of you can identify and probably can testify in many different forms or fashions, when you follow God and listen to his word and you choose the wise path, generally speaking, good things happen and God looks after you. And when you choose the unwise paths and the things that might be a little bit easier are contrary to God's word, you find yourself in struggle, you find yourself in pain, and you find yourself in trouble. Doing things, saying things that are not good for either you or for those around you or for God's kingdom. Now, Paul comes along and he teaches us this and teaches us a couple principles about this wisdom that he offers us, that God offers us, that his Spirit offers us. And the first thing about this wisdom, as we look at some characteristics or just what this is all about, is that this is a mysterious wisdom. Now, we don't like mystery, do we? Particularly in Western culture, we are not a very superstitious culture. We've got science, we've got explanations, we've got the media, we've got a good history of the last 100, 150 years, and we like to control things to the very best of our abilities. We don't like mystery in life. Because mystery means it's something we don't understand. Mystery means it's something that we can't explain. Mystery means that I don't have control over what's happening in my life or in this current situation. And so I'm not sure I'm quite comfortable with the idea of mystery. And quite frankly, back when Paul wrote this letter, the Greeks and the Romans, they weren't very comfortable with this either. They had all kinds of institutions of higher learning, and they were where a lot of the philosophers came out of, and much of our Western culture and civilization came out of this idea of learning and explaining and science and trying to figure everything out. But there's a part of human nature, there's a part of the world around us that remains and will always remain mysterious. And that's okay. Anna Marion is an American journalist who specializes in politics and religion. In her 2019 book, Republic of Lies, American Conspiracy Theorists, she devotes a chapter to the psychology behind UFO conspiracies. I'm not going to ask if any of you are UFO, you know, people, whatever. Just in the U.S., okay? Or sorry, not just in the U.S., but she did her paper and this book globally, all over the world. The intense depth and breadth of the conversation about aliens throughout the world says something profound about human hopes, is her conclusion. About our desire not to be alone in the universe, about our wish for some wise and mysterious force out there in the farthest regions of space that is ready to show us the way. UFO enthusiasm coexists with a certain degree of New Age spirituality. There's a sense that extraterrestrials don't just exist, but they will someday be revealed to us a better way. They will reveal also a better way and a higher state of being. Marion quotes astronomer and leading a person, Jacques Villiers, who wrote, "The UFO mystery holds a mirror to our own fantasies. It expresses our secret longings for wisdom that might come down from the stars in a new, improved, easy-use packaging to reveal the secrets of life and tell us long at last who we are." Outside the church, outside scripture, there's this longing to know who we are. And many people go down the path of UFOs or conspiracy theories or the mysterious that we don't understand or that we can't see. There's all kinds of stuff in this world that's mysterious. Creation itself is mysterious. In her book, Biology, naturalist Montgomery describes the beauty and intricacy of an ordinary hummingbird. You ever have hummingbirds come to your hummingbird feeder? Hummingbirds are the lightest birds in the sky. Of their roughly 240 species, the largest, an Angiaria giant, is only 8 inches long. The smallest, the bee hummingbird of Cuba, is just over 2 inches long and weighs a single gram. Delicacy is a trade-off that hummingbirds have made for their unrivaled powers of flight. Alone among birds, however, they can hover, fly backwards, even fly upside down. For such small birds, their speed is astonishing. In a courtship display to impress females, a male Allen's hummingbird, for instance, can dive out of the sky at 61 miles per hour. 61 miles per hour. You figure out what that is in kilometers, but it's pretty fast going down the highway. And even best the space shuttle as it screams down towards the atmosphere at 207 body lengths per second. Hummingbirds' wings beat at a rate that makes them blur to the human eyes more than 60 times a second. They are little more than bubbles fringed with iridescent feathers, air wrapped in light flight muscles around 35%. An enormous heart constitutes up to 2.5% of its body weight, the largest per body weight of all the vertebrates. Each hummingbird is just a speck, yet each is an infinite mystery. God loves to dwell in the mystery of life. Now, for many of us, we get really nervous about it. But here's the cool thing. That when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you are filled with God's Holy Spirit, that happens when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you begin to look at the world differently and you begin to appreciate the mystery, and it gives you a wisdom for what you see and what you cannot understand that you will not find anywhere else. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to be able to explain everything. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't know. But it's amazing, it's mysterious, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. In reading this, then you will understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed in the Lord's people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, beyond all question, the mystery from true godliness springs is great. You kind of get the idea? And this mystery primarily that Paul is talking about is the mystery of Jesus Christ, who God himself came as we celebrate at Christmas and will celebrate in less than a month with Easter, and gave his life to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin, for the things we've done wrong. That's not rational. That doesn't make any sense. I've done nothing for God to love me that much. It's a mystery. And a mystery that I will never understand. I don't even know or think that I will even understand it when I stand before God someday. Why would you, Jesus, Son of the Father, Lord of all creation, humble yourself and come to the earth and die for me? I don't think I will ever understand that. It's this mysterious wisdom. Then Paul goes on to say that it's also this wisdom that gives us purpose. I love this because we have the understanding and the privilege to understand God's Spirit. In verse 12, it says this, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." It's a spirit, it's a wisdom of purpose, a way to understand who you are in relationship to everybody around you, in relationship to the God who made you, and even in relationship with creation all around you. It gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you a sense of identity. Isn't it interesting that in our culture right now that we have a crisis of identity? That the further that people get away from God, the further they are away from God's Holy Spirit, the further they're away from understanding what God has planned for them and his love for them, that their identity gets more and more and more messed up. Many people don't know who they are. Many people don't know what they've been made for. Many people don't know how they've been created. There's all of this identity crisis in the world around us because they lack the wisdom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And the crazy thing is that we make all kinds of excuses and different thoughts and different mechanisms to try and identify who we are and our purpose. And as the previous chapter says, they think it's wise. They think it's wisdom. They think it's great. They want us to celebrate. But the reality is it's foolishness. And then they look at the belief system that Jesus came and died on a cross, and they think that's foolish. It's turned upside down. It's turned on its head. This wisdom that comes in relationship with Jesus Christ is not just a mysterious wisdom, but it's a wisdom that gives us purpose. I don't know if you're a Black Panther fan, if you watched the first movie, but Chadwick Boseman was the main character, and most of you will have known that he's passed away since then. But Marvel fans for the world were shaken when they learned about his death. Chadwick Boseman, the star. Death is always shocking, but Boseman's passing away was the most gripping because nobody knew what the star had been facing. Well, filming for blockbusters like some other movies, 21 Bridges, Avengers, Infinity War, Black Panther, and Marshall shared, Boseman was undergoing treatments for stage 3 colon cancer. He knew something about trials and struggles and pain and suffering, and shared this wisdom in a 2018 commentary address in his alma mater, Howard University. He said this, "Sometimes you need to feel the pain and the sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God has predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, 'I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.'" Remember, he's dying. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in things that you are here to fulfill. Whether you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. And he concludes with this. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. God will move someone that's holding you back away from the door and put someone there who will open it for you if it's meant for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you're willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the more failures at first than successes, the one that ultimately has been proven to be more meaningful, more victory, more glory, then you will not ever regret it. Isn't that interesting? Purpose found in Jesus Christ gives us wisdom to see the world differently than everyone else. Lastly, Paul talks about here spiritual wisdom. A spiritual wisdom in verse 13. This is what we speak, not words taught to us by human wisdom, but by the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. I don't know if you've ever had this privilege, but maybe one time you were having a conversation with somebody and a question came up. And you had an answer, and you're like, I don't know where that answer came from. Or maybe you were just talking with somebody, and as you walked away from the conversation, you told them a piece about yourself or something, understanding that you'd come across in your reading of the Bible or an experience that you had, and you hadn't planned it, you didn't know it was coming, and actually you hadn't shared that with anybody else, but it just came out. And it moved somebody. It was a time where you were praying. There's a passage in the book of Romans, and you just got to a point where you were just praying in groans because you didn't even know what you were praying for anymore. For some of you might have experienced some of the crazy stuff in our Christian faith, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it's speaking tongues or praying for somebody and them having them healed or some of the other crazy stuff that you read about. You go, what? It's the spiritual things of this world that we are very, very uncomfortable with many times. But God moves in them. And He moves in them because His Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of us. We were created as spiritual people. It's something we need to remind ourselves about, even when the supernatural and the spiritual kind of freaks us out. Because it can be scary. Because we need to release our identity, we need to release our control of life into the hands of a spirit that we can't see, His Holy Spirit, and in the hands of a God who we can't touch and say, God, You're in control. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to follow Your promptings. I'm going to follow Your Holy Spirit, and I'm going to let You use me in a way that's going to impact the world. Because You love me and I love You. Research shows that people are obsessed with spirituality, even though many people say they don't want to have anything to do with religion. Many people are still quite religious. A survey in 2011, so a few years ago, found that 8 in 10 North Americans believed in angels. 8 out of 10. 4 in 10 people that never went to church of those 8 out of 10 were people that never even went to church. In 2009, a Pew Research Center reported that 1 in 5 Americans experienced ghosts and 1 in 7 had consulted a psychic. In 2005, a Gallup found that 3 out of 4 Americans believed in something paranormal. 3 out of 4. Whether it's about houses that could be haunted or demons or other crazy stuff that goes on, more than 90% of those who no longer belong to a church say that they do pray. Isn't that interesting? 40% of them pray weekly or more often. Half of those who have no religion frequent New Age bookstores, and they're essentially prone to believe in ghosts, Bigfoot, and Atlantis. Stars like these often lead religion scholar Jeffrey J. Capron to declare Americans are obsessed with the supernatural. Right across the board. And yet many people say we don't want to have anything to do with it. Anything to do with the supernatural. Paul comes along here and says, you know what? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with God and you know Him, then He gives this amazing gift called the Holy Spirit. And what this Holy Spirit does is it gives a direct connection between you and God the Father. And when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have the mind of Christ. That is nuts. That is mysterious in itself. You are not alone, as we talked about last week. You have access to God's Spirit, to the power, it tells us in Ephesians, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you, and you are filled with that same kind of wisdom. The question is when you know this, when you know that you are filled with this mysterious wisdom, when you know that you're filled with this wisdom of purpose, when you know you're filled with this wisdom that understands the spiritual world around you because you have His Holy Spirit living inside of you, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Because for many Christians, we know this conceptually. We know that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that we have access to wisdom. We know that we have access to the mind of Jesus Christ. And so what do we do with it? For a lot of us, we don't do very much with it. Because it's scary. Because it involves surrendering our will, ourselves, to God the Father and saying, Jesus, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, not my will be done, but your will be done. In every area of our lives, in the conversations that you have every single day, whether it's in your workplace, with your family, in the grocery store, wherever you find yourself, the conversations that you have are opportunities for God's Holy Spirit to work through you, to stir up and you bring out wisdom that's going to impact and change somebody around you. That when you sit down and you read God's Word, you're not just reading words on a page. But you're reading words that God's Holy Spirit will begin to reveal meaning and truth to you and to your heart that you in turn can share with others. Not just to sit on it, not just to accumulate a bunch of knowledge so that you're smart, but to take what you know, to take your experience, to take your relationship with Jesus Christ and to share it with others. So this week, here's a couple of questions to ask yourself. First of all, in every day, as we embark first thing in the morning when you get out of your bed, God, grant me the wisdom to make the right decisions today. Because I can't do it. When I get up out of the morning, out of bed in the morning, and start reading my Bible and whatever else it is that I do, you get up and you start going, I cannot do this on my own strength. I am not smart enough. And you that know me, the canoe's only one thing. There's many, many, many other things. I do not have the capacity to be smart enough to deal with life and to deal with people and deal with all the decisions that I'm going to have to make as a person, as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a job, whatever it is. I do not have that wisdom. And I need God's help every single day. Ask Him for wisdom. And I guarantee you, as He says in His Word, He will give it. Do you know your purpose? We talked a bit about this last week and talking about the will and plan that God has for your life. Some of us, many of us kind of know you know your callings, you know your gifts, you know your things that God has given you, and so you know what you're supposed to do. You know your purpose. And that can change throughout our lives in different seasons and even daily. But you know, and that's great, but for many of the rest of us, we struggle with this. It's our purpose. Many of us know our identity. We know that we are God's son and daughter. We know that Jesus Christ loves us. We know that His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But what am I supposed to do with it? What's my purpose? And for many of us, that can be a lifelong pursuit and struggle. Do you know your purpose? Are you aware of your purpose? If you're not, seek it out. Pray. Ask God to give you the wisdom to know your purpose because it starts here with a relationship with His God and His Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside of you. Third, be aware of what we do not see. This is a hard one for Westerners because we don't want to see what we don't see. We don't want to acknowledge what we don't understand. And there are things that happen in your life, there are things that happen in the lives of those around you that you cannot understand, and that's okay. It's okay. But be aware of it, because sometimes in those moments where there's mystery, sometimes in those moments where the supernatural is happening, those are divine appointments and moments where you get to step in and do something incredible for God's kingdom. It could be praying for somebody who isn't well. It could be praying for somebody who just needs some encouragement. It could be taking somebody out for coffee or lunch. It could be taking some of your money or your finances or your time and giving it to somebody in need. You do not know, but when you're attuned to the supernatural around you, there are divine moments that come into your life, and if you seize those moments, it can change the trajectory of others, the decisions that they will make. Be aware of what you do not see. And lastly, use the wisdom that God has given you to spread the love of Jesus Christ. Because we live in such a foolish world that's so messed up and so mixed up that they need people who are connected with the mind of Christ and using the wisdom that God has given us to point them to Him who ultimately loves them and wants to save them. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have given us so many reasons for faith. So many benefits of trusting in you and loving you. We thank you that when you left, you didn't leave us on our own to figure this out and just to do it on our own, but you left us with your Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of your presence, of your mind inside of our lives. This morning, we say thank you for that. This week, every day, Jesus, as we get up, as we start our days, may we be attuned to what's going on around us. Make us wise. Fill us and remind us of our purpose. Show us and let us be aware of the divine moments of the supernatural that come into our lives where we can seize the opportunity to be you to those around us. Let us be a church and let us be a people that foremost knows you and takes your wisdom to the very ends of this earth. For this we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.